Blog Talk Radio.
I wish there was a video game to teach you your ancestor name. I wish there was a phone number like 1-800-SAVE-YOUR-BROTHER. I'm thankful for the radio station, not afraid to put the truth in rotation. But there is certain information that you can only get in conversation with young people. We'll talk to
old people.
It would make us shine.
Your host is Lynn McDonald, coming to you from amazing Las Vegas, Nevada. I'd like to first of all thank you for joining us. And again, if you'd like to call in starting the morning out, I'd like to make sure you have the number if you'd like to call in and kind of dialogue with us. That phone number being area code 347-324-5730. Again, the number is 347-324-5730. Good morning. Good morning. Well, as you know, we're here every Monday and Friday, 10 a.m. to 10:30. So let's do a little housework before we get started. And the housework being, get you a glass of water, coffee, tea, whatever it takes for you to be comfortable for the next 25 minutes. As a matter of fact, find you a spot that's comfortable before you and kind of sit there. And instead of sitting back and getting totally relaxed, I want you to put your hands on your knees and kind of lean forward today. Reason for that is the title of our show is Stand and Rise. There is a healing right where you are. There is where your healing is. And we're basically talking about, again, I rise. I mean, you know, we all go through something, and we want to make sure that we understand, as the song said by Donnie McClurkin, we fall down and we get up. But outside of that, just kind of, you know, you get your sea legs after things happen. And then you want to be able to remember that you're going to get steady. It's going to get a lot easier in anything that we do. A little practice. I'm going to bring on my co-host. I see she's already there. Can't wait to talk to her. I know she had a busy day yesterday, which every First Lady has a busy Sunday, but this one means a lot to me, so I'm going to check in with her right now. Good morning, Lady Kathy. How are you?
Good morning.
Hello.
Susie. I am well. How are you? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now, baby. Yeah, your voice sounds a little tired, though.
Yeah, it actually is a little tired because I just ran in from 30 minutes of bike riding.
Oh, okay.
I went and bought me a bike so I can get my exercise in every day. So I looked at the clock and said, oh, my God, I got to go back home. So, yeah, I ran in.
That'll do it every time. So how's everything going for you, and how was service yesterday?
Oh, service was awesome yesterday, as usual. God did what he does, showed up and showed out. So Pastor Tony, he's been on the series about Job and how, you know, Satan went to Job after God sent him there and said, have you considered my servant Job? And after everything was taken and done, Job bowed down, written his clothes, cut his hair, bowed down and worshiped God. And so the topic was your worship gets attention. Your worship draws attention is what it was.
Right.
Powerful
right.
Service.
Wow.
Powerful.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, that's great to hear.
And how was yours?
As a matter of fact, mine was a little quiet and yet and still a little busy all in one. But it was really good. It was a great Sunday. went and spent some time with my family and kind of did some, you know, again, a little housework too. So, yes.
Yeah.
I love quiet. Well, you know the show we had last week basically kind of kicked off this conversation, as a matter of a fact, being able to, you know, you just understand that we're all going to go through something, and how are we going to get through it? Last week, Friday, we were talking about infidelity in relationships, and how do you get through it, or do you stay, do you go, do you, like, how do you get through? And so today we're going to talk about, irregardless of what you go to, there's a period where you just have to stand. And I know even after you stand, you know, you have a little bit of sea legs, and the whole thing being is that there is an opportunity for you to learn from whatever has happened or whatever is going on. And will you make a decision? I mean, just standing, you know, make a decision, make any decision, stay, go, whatever your decision is, be aware that it's okay. It's okay. So let's get into the conversation today of stand. Just stand. Oh, bless you, baby. God.
Sorry,
bless you.
I'm trying to catch that. I brought the pollen with me.
Well, again,
that's a very interesting topic.
Yeah.
That stand and rise. I'd like to hear about that. Stand and rise. There is where your healing is.
Exactly. Absolutely. And I kind of was, you know, the scripture that came to me afterwards is Ephesians 6 and 14, where it says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Then we also have one that talks about, after you've done everything to stand, stand again. Whatever your decision is, be aware of that and stand on it. I mean, a lot of times we, you know, we like we talked about on Friday, people stay in situations that are not good for them. Because of, like you said, that first lady that she liked wearing the hat, and she had a parking space, and everybody recognized her. If that was the motive, her motive behind it, then she got just what she needed, irregardless of what was going on in her life with the infidelity with her husband and everything. But the real key is being able to stand. You know, when you make a decision, whether it like with her to stay, or those that make the decision to go. You know, if you just hold on, stand, you know, get your sea legs back, because a lot of things are traumatic. Those things are traumatic. Now that you stand, you know, like with little kids, you get to the point that you need someone to hold your finger so you can steady your legs like your grandbaby. Then after a while, you see they're pulling up on their own and they just take off walking. Well, that's the same principle that we ourselves have to use. And you got a lot of pollen going over there. I hear it.
Yes, Lordy Jesus. I'm about to wear a mask outside.
Uh-oh.
Okay. I apologize.
But anyway, yeah. No, it's fine. It's natural. What can I tell you? So let's get into that. Even for yourself. I mean, you know, when we think about it, it's your turn. I'm turning the tables on you today. And that is, you know, especially in ministry, there are a lot of things that we actually go through, especially as first ladies. And we've been trying to talk to the first ladies and get them to come out and dialogue with us. But you know what's really funny is that I get more messages from people that are not first ladies. And what I realize is that the conversations that we have, it's everybody. It's not just even women. It's men, too. Not just in the ministry. When they hear us, a lot of the people that I get a lot of responses from is that it's in everyday life, you know, even with our children, school, everything, there are things that they have to deal with day by day. And that's, you know, and they still have to be able to function, but we have to give them the tools in order to be successful after that. Do you think that in the midst of problems in a marriage or a relationship that the children need to be completely shielded away from what's going on? Hello.
Okay, I'm back. I had to work that out. Okay, you know what? I don't think they need to be shielded from exactly everything that's going on.
Right.
But some things I definitely feel like the children don't need to know. They don't need to know. It can be very damaging to them if they are exposed to everything. I have a girlfriend who totally includes her children and everything that goes on in the family, everything, finances, whatever's going on. Devastating stuff. And she's done that her whole life, and I've always disagreed with that because I feel like children need to be children. And so now you've exposed them to adult issues that they cannot handle. And so, therefore, process it in a different way. The decisions I made as a 10-year-old and being exposed to different things changed my thinking process that, and I made decisions as a 10-year-old for my adulthood when I wasn't even in that situation yet. I wasn't even a fully grown adult. I was still processing in a 10-year-old mind. But I made decisions, and I know a lot of children do, when they're exposed to certain situations in their home. And that is, for instance, if there's an abusive marriage, if the father beats the mom, well, the 10-year-old makes a decision that when I get older, ain't no man going to ever put his hands on me. And I ain't going to take nothing off of nobody ever in life. And so you grow up with a child who's very, very guarded. Her heart is shut down. She can be abusive herself because she's not going to be victimized anymore. I mean, these things are decisions that's made as a 10-year-old that will hinder her life as an adult by being exposed to things that she should have been shielded from. Now, some things, yes, because I made the mistake of, I don't know if it was a mistake, but my parenting style was that I shielded my kids from everything. But now those children are having to make adult decisions that they don't have the tools to make. I handicapped them in a way. And now they say, Mom, how do I do this? Why did, you know, what about this? I mean, they're calling me for answers. And now I'm having to go back and say, listen, you're going to have to figure this out on your own. You're grown. But I also went to them and repented and apologized for fixing everything and shielding them from everything, you know, that I felt like was important. But that decision was based on my childhood and the fact that I didn't get shielded from nothing. So I didn't do that with my children.
Uh-huh. Wow. Well,
so
you know,
it's a situation, I think.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. A lot of times you have to make decisions, immediate decisions. But the main thing being able to give children the opportunity to know that life isn't all a bed of roses as well. You know, I have a friend, Frank Hawkins. He and I were talking one day, and he said his daughter, you know, the things that his daughter was doing, like she was acting like a daddy. Hello. And he explained to her, wait a minute. Yeah, she was acting like her dad. And it was funny because acting like her dad. And the one thing he said to her, which I have adopted and I think is absolutely amazing, is he said to her, I earned it. You're not going to get everything. Yeah, you're not going to just get everything. You've got to earn your own. And that is something that, especially with children that grow up with parents that have a lot of money, they have the tendency to feel that everyone owes them something and everything. But when he said that,
entitlement.
Yes. But when he said that to me, it made me stop and think. You know, they say train a child in the way they should go. And for him, that was really wise because the entitlement, like he said, that didn't belong to you. This house belongs to me. That bed belongs to me. And I remember even my mother one time, I think it was myself, in fact, I'm positive. I was like, I think I should just leave. She said, go ahead. Oh, no, it wasn't me that time. This was my son. He told my dad he was going to run. He told his dad he's going to run away. His dad said, go ahead. Leave my underwear, leave my tennis shoes, leave my this. Don't even take my backpack. He said, I'll give you a
paper.
You're going to
look like Joseph when you get outside.
Right. So I thought about that even, and I was like, that was so cruel. Then I thought about it. I was like, no, that was so wise. And the wisdom in it is because the child was able to realize everything you have has been given to you. But if that's your attitude about being chastised when you are in the position that you've done something to deserve it, then don't, and you threaten me, then leave my stuff here and go get your own.
Right.
And that still comes back to what we're saying here. Now you gotta rise again on this thing. A parent has gotta stand up, a wife has gotta stand up, but also our children have gotta stand. They've got to know that even in chastisement, there's a healing in it. Even when, and the scripture says, even God gets on us. I mean, would he do less?
Yes, he does. He will tap that behind because he loves you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because
and when he does it, exactly. And when he does it, you know he's not paying attention to you. You're not here.
Mm-mm.
That's the same thing in your home. But the one thing we were talking about here is when I said stand and rise. Stand is one thing, but when you rise up, you know, if you think about it, you knew my mother. My mother said, you're going to stand. I want you to not only stand, but I want you to rise to the occasion. It's good to stand, but you have to rise to the occasion. There's a difference, and that's being visible versus invisible. Because there's a healing in standing up and rising to the occasion and being visible in the situation. A lot of times we find, like right now, you know, you and I can both look and see that people are listening. But again, they're invisible. So even the answers that we give, they're not getting the full, they're not getting all the ingredients because they're not calling in with questions. Like my saying, questions lead to answers, answers lead to choices. I mean, really, if they're not going to check in, you can listen, it's great. But when you don't check in, you leave yourself without an option of your own questioning that your own answers can be answered. And the one thing about Lady Kathy and I, we are pretty transparent. Like she got me these last couple of days on the interviews. Shocked, yes, but I was willing to share that with you that a healing could take place in you as well as myself, you know. So I want you to talk to me.
And I think we pretty much talk about and cover a lot of topics that they would have asked anyway because we're not, you know, we go there. We're not ashamed of bringing up the tough questions and answering them. And we're naked. And we're not ashamed.
Not at all. And that's the real key. Will you? My question is, how many can actually stand, rise to the occasion, and share that someone else can live a healthy and healed life to where you and I both know there's a lot of misuse and abuse, even in the church world. You know, you expect it in the world, but people come into the church and they forget that the church is just people from the outside coming in getting healed. And there's the key, getting healed. You know, if everybody was already okay and good, we don't even need hospitals. But even the hospital, when you go in, you got to inflict some pain to get to the healing process. So when it comes to us standing, it blows my mind that you and I have decided to share this. And although it's available, many people won't come to the hospital. They will not come into the hospital. My question to you is why? Why?
You know, that's a good question because I, believe it or not, I still have this headache that I've had for about a week now. And and every day my husband says, you need to go to the hospital and get that checked out. And every day my answer is, I don't have time to go to the hospital and get this checked out. That's a stay that may be a day or two or whatever. I know it's not in and out. I'll just check it out tomorrow or something like that. And as you were speaking, I thought about that when you said, why? Why won't people go to the hospital?
Right. Hello.
And my answer to that on both levels is I'm just not ready to deal with it. You know, that requires a lot of work. I already know. You're going to have to get a bunch of tests and all this stuff. And, you know, and they come back with, well, it's this or that, the other is nothing. But in the meantime, the process is tedious and long.
Wow.
And my schedule does not allow for a long, tedious stay right now. So every day I'm coming up with different things. Now, I've been to the chiropractor. I even went to urgent care the other night, and they were like, we can't help you. You know, and so I've been to, I stopped by, I had to take my sister to the doctor who did my neck surgery. So while I was there, I just asked him a question about a headache. I didn't go into detail because he was for me to have tests. And so he said, go get
acupuncture. But you didn't have time.
So
you didn't have time.
I didn't have time.
Ahead.
And so when you're talking, I'm like, okay, I'm guilty.
Kathy.
I'm guilty. But it's denial. Let's do denial. Let's answer that with it's just denial. They're just in denial of, you know, what could be going on.
They are?
Yeah, they are.
They
the
are.
People are in denial. Yeah, the people.
They are. They. You got your finger pointing out, and there's one finger pointing out and three pointing back at you. I'm just saying.
We're going to talk about the people. The people are in denial.
Yeah, okay.
I'm like, you know, I'm all on my, you know, my home remedies and my modalities. Like, why is none of this working? I don't appreciate it. So,
okay.
Yeah, but, you know, when it comes to the things of the ministry, because the hospital is a hospital for hurting souls. And so that's where people go. Oftentimes people get hurt in church. A lot. We've all been hurt in church. If that's your life, you're going to get hurt in church in some type of way or feel like you've been overlooked, disrespected, or what have you. And I talk to people all the time who come with that gripe, and I said, you know, and then the response is always, this is the church. People ain't going to act like this is church. And I say to them, you know, church is just a hospital for hurting souls. So this is where all the hurting people are, at church, in the world. They know how to feel better. They know how to get your toes. They know how to cut you out. They know how to go and get them some type of numbing agent for their nerves. And they know how to work it out. But in church, a lot of times it's hypocritical. And you're not really saying what you want to say. You're not really saying what you feel. You're hugging people that you can't stand or who mistreated you in some way. And so when you find somebody who's willing to say, you know what, I don't like the way you act, or, you know, I don't appreciate the fact that you just walked over me and didn't speak for real, legitimately did not speak, because, you know, that happens a lot, too, and people didn't even know you were standing there. But then that person is like, well, she got a bad attitude, because she spoke truth, you know what I mean, and brought it to the forefront and chose not to be hypocritical that day. Well, that's where all the people are, at church. Because if they didn't need God, they wouldn't be there.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're going looking for something. They're trying to seek some help, some answers. So they're coming in hurting.
Right.
And hurting people hurt people.
Yeah. Well, I had an incident today, as a matter of fact. I came into work, and one of the seniors was walking towards me. Oh, she was walking with her walker. She told me that's it. I'm out of here. I'm not coming back. I've been here for an hour, and nobody walked up and said anything to me. Nobody said, hello, dirty. Hello, dirty lady. Nothing. So I said, good morning. How are you? And she said, well, I'm fine. But that doesn't mean anything. You're the only one. You just got here. So I told her,
wow.
Do me a favor. Right. I said, go back over here, and let me, and you relax, and I'll be right there. She said, okay, well, I'll be sitting in the window. She sits here every day, but anyway. I said, okay, I'll be there in just a minute. So I put my bags down, and I ran out there, and I was like, Miss, then I'll just give a fictitious name, Miss Ellis, how are you? And she said, I'm fine, baby. And she was sweet, sweet, sweet. All of a sudden, she started again, and nobody in here has said hello to me out there. I said, now, you know what?
Oh, wow.
You're holding on to the negative that nobody else did anything to you, but look who showed up every single day and comes to your table. I said, that doesn't even mean anything about what happened. That's in the past. I said, I kind of touched her on the forehead. I said, that's okay. That's like Lion King, Mufasa. Look in the water. It's in the past. And she was like, what does that mean? So I went and got the video. I'm going to bring it in here and let them look at it. And I'm going to remind her. But the bottom line being is that there are many hurting souls out there, and it only takes one person to stand and rise to that occasion even. There's a healing in
right.
that for someone. And we just have to, you know, you just have to kind of play your cards and kind of, a lot of times we just have to be a little more patient with each other. It's not that big of a deal. Be a little bit more patient, and it'll make the difference in someone's life. Their life, not
and,
just
and
their
what
death.
They told you also is that she really didn't care that it wasn't really about nobody spoke to her. It was the right person didn't speak to her. Because even after you loved on her, she was like, yeah, and right back right to what she was saying, she just wanted to.
Well, you know, the other.
It sounds like she's been ostracized from the group.
Yeah. But you know what else, too? And we want to talk about that. I want to start bringing this up, and I want to start talking. You're the health lady. And we got to put this in here. You know, I work with a lot of people. I'm an advocate for seniors as well. You see, I'm an advocate for some of everybody. For seniors and for people with mental challenges and that are disabled, and also their families. And what I realize is we have got to get into the churches and start dealing with this. Dementia, Alzheimer's. You know, even before my mother passed, there were changes that took place. And there were in and outs that I didn't really know the keys to what that meant. Now I do, and I realize my mother not only had dementia, she had Alzheimer's, early stages, but how it affects the mind. And I'd like for us, starting not this coming Friday, because we'll have Dr. Judith on, but I want us to start talking about that, because I'm getting ready to, I've made a plan for myself. I'm going into the churches, and I got to talk to our seniors. They don't know the information to protect themselves, their mind. You know some of it, sugar and things like that. And so starting next week, Lady Kathy, I want you to do a little research on dementia, Alzheimer's, sugar, and different things that we need to eliminate out of the diet that could actually suffice us and carry us, because we're losing our seniors. We just found out about one of the seniors. He was walking down the street. Didn't know who he was, where he was, and how some youngsters actually took all of his money. They didn't beat him up, but they took all of his money, and it was his rent money. But he didn't even know where he was or who he was, and he had just cashed his check. We have got to stand and rise to the occasion for our seniors. If we don't, we're going to lose a generation that has lots of information, and it's something that we can give them a more quality life while they're here. So I want to kind of get going on that. Again, it's my heartbeat. I know health is yours as well. We need to create a health section every single month that we're putting the information out there. Please, 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 Lady Kathy. You have so much information.
Well, you know, Lady Susie, this is something that health is definitely my passion. However, the seniors are, I would like to come in with just a spoonful of coconut oil and just drop it down their throat and see how fast they turn around. However, the seniors are at a stage where Alzheimer's has kind of taken hold of dementia, but health period for all ages, because they got that way because they didn't do what they needed to do as youth or young people or young adults or adults, and that was missing. Sugar is bad. Sugar is the key element ingredient to every disease that ails you. Every last one of them, not just Alzheimer's. Every last
right.
one of them, your body's gonna break down with sugar. And so, with the seniors, the neglect from the family, or like you said, just being uneducated on Alzheimer's or dementia, or they used to call it old timers. So it used to be expected that as you age, you start to lose some cognitive ability and reasoning, and you know, your senses weren't as what they were. Now we know that's not the case.
Right.
It was contributed to what they put in their bodies, or the lack of what their bodies were able to internalize nutritionally. But the thing is, there is hope for seniors who have Alzheimer's.
And
I mean, you'd be surprised at how fast they could turn around,
right.
especially in the
right.
early stages. But the key is prevention. We want to prevent them from getting to that point in the first place. And there are some natural
exactly.
things that they can do that will not even have them going there. And coconut oil is number one. And it's cheap, and it's basically very, very free, you know, on a lot of levels. Because you get a big old jar, and it lasts a long time. But coconut oil
right.
will definitely to bring that stuff back. The problem is they don't have enough fat in their brain, and then the medicine they're being prescribed is also depleting the fat. But they need about 70% fat in that brain in order to keep it from shrinking. So if they're on Lipitor and all these other drugs that lower the cholesterol, it's going to shrink the brain. So they need more fat to get that turned around. The short answer, the immediate response to that is, if they get
right.
more fat in their diet, that'll turn around.
Okay,
but
so can we make a commitment? let's make a commitment to have. I remember we talked about it before, and now I'm going to hold you to it. We have Dr. Judith every second and fourth. Am I correct?
Yes.
Of every month. Okay. The first and third month, I want you to take the Fridays, and we want you to leave us with the weekend on some health.
We'll do that after I complete things I got going on right now. I can't delve into that right now. I got stuff off the top of my head I cannot say exactly, okay. But researching it right now is not a possibility for me. Not at this moment.
Okay.
School is
well,
calling me.
Well, we've got to keep going because you got so much information.
I do. I can just talk about it all day long without researching. I have a lot that I can say, but to just develop the whole program. It's not something I can do right now.
Okay.
But that's where it starts with health.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, we're at the
mental
end of
and physical
show.
Health.
Exactly. Well, we're at the end of the show talking about Stand Rise. There is healing. There is a healing right here in each and every one of us. Again, this is First Ladies Blog Talk Radio. We come with some information every single week, Monday and Friday, 10 a.m. to 10:30, and we want to be sure that we can actually get these things done, get some things that can put some meat back on your brain and some health, some fat, and then the healthy fats that we need. So once we get that part done, then we're actually able to move forward. This is First Ladies, as I said, Blog Talk Radio. We look forward to you being with us every Monday and Friday. Thank you, sponsors, Panda Comfort Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization dealing with anything that's traumatic to you. And if you need us, you can actually call us at 1-783-6373. 24 hours a day, you get a live person. And Lady Kathy, can you tell us about your ministry, please?
At the Dance of the Glory World Outreach Ministries, where the pastor is Pastor Tony Howard, 6037 Southway Boulevard, Nevada, 89118. We hope to see you there.
Have an amazing day, everyone. Thank you, and see you on Friday. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.